Stay tuned now for Edward R. Murrow with the news, presented by Hams. H-A-M-M-S. Hams. Yes, Hams, America's most refreshing beer, brings you America's favorite newscaster, Edward R. Murrow. Looks refreshing. Tastes refreshing. Is refreshing. Hams, America's most refreshing beer, from the land of the sky blue waters. Have a Hams when you want real refreshment. Ask for Hams wherever fine beer is sold. It's America's most refreshing beer. Hams. And now, Edward R. Murrow.
This is the news. New York's basketball scandal has spread to another school. Three Long Island University players today confessed that they, too, have accepted bribes from a gambler. The same fixer, Salvatore Salazzo, who worked on three CCNY players and one boy from New York University. The players arrested today were Sherman White, the nation's leading college scorer, a sure thing for All-American honors, and his teammates, Adolph Bigos and Leroy Smith. With former Long Island University star Eddie Gard arrested in the City College investigation on Monday, they admit losing three games intentionally last year and maneuvering the outcome of four games this year so that their payoff man, Salazzo, profited. We don't know how much Salazzo made on the fixed games. We do know that he paid off $19,000 to the boys, as much as $1,250 to one player for one game. The developments in New York add up to perhaps the biggest scandal in collegiate sports history. In a few minutes, I'd like you to hear what Nat Holman, Mr. Basketball to so many fans, has to say about it. A federal grand jury in Washington uncovered another scandal today. It indicted a meat company, Ben Grunstein and Sons of Hoboken, New Jersey, its vice president, William Grunstein, former Army captain, John F. Jones of Easton, Maryland, and Sergeant Samuel Alman of Dothan, Alabama, all indicted on a conspiracy to deliver inferior meat to the Army. The firm is accused of corrupting the two Army men, giving them bribes and gifts so that they approved what the government estimates to be $1 million worth of inferior meats. Our troops in Korea today were relatively inactive. They have turned back the enemy attack of a week ago. And General MacArthur, in another visit to the front, says the recent Chinese losses have been among the bloodiest of modern times. It will be hard to replace the Chinese casualties, who came from among their best troops. The general also took note of public discussions on crossing the 38th parallel again. He said that if and when he thinks the time for that comes, I shall not arbitrarily execute authority for our forces to go north. He will halt such action if cogent political reasons are advanced. The general also took note of Stalin's weekend threat, a threat of annihilation for our troops if we don't accept communist terms. The general said Stalin's comrades will have to do a lot better than they have yet done to prove him a prophet. In Washington, the Army says that unless the world situation gets worse, it hopes to release some 214,000 National Guardsmen and reservists now on duty when they have finished serving their 21 months in training. And it hopes to avoid calling up any new Guard divisions, although it may need some reservists. The government has ordered a cut in the amount of steel available for automobile and other durable consumer goods. It will be 20% less than what the industries used for the first quarter of last year. This is designed to save 1 million tons of steel. Labor leaders called on economic stabilizer Johnston today, arguing for a more liberal policy for new wage increases. Mr. Johnston is considering their demands. He told reporters, "I find that everyone thinks the other fellow is getting more." Five major farm organizations warn today that if farm prices are frozen below parity, this will mean black markets, a scarcity of food, and the collapse of inflation controls. Secretary of State Acheson says it's the duty of every American to reject and expose the false motives of the group that is planning a peace pilgrimage to Washington. It's sponsored by an organization called American Peace Crusade. The secretary says it is designed to divide and conquer, infiltrate and confuse. The State Department has released the text of our note to Russia, suggesting that the deputy ministers try to work out an agenda for a foreign minister's meeting in Washington. We say that the primary cause of world tension is the general attitude of Russia since the end of World War II. The United States Circuit Court of Appeals has refused to halt the execution of 7 German war criminals. Their attorneys may still appeal to the Supreme Court. In New York today, Nat Holman, the coach of the CCNY basketball team, was kind enough to sum up for us his views on the basketball scandal. Last year, Nat Holman watched his team win the biggest national basketball tournament. On Monday, he discovered that 3 of his players were also playing for gamblers. Here, recorded for you, is Nat Holman.
This thing that took place is shocking to those of us who have been affiliated with the sport for many years. And yet, we cannot help but feel that perhaps it's the times. These troublesome times where youngsters sometimes feel that within a few months they may be in the service. Some have been cutting class. Others are maybe very susceptible to the offers that gamblers are making to them. And yet the very things that we've been spotlighting and pinpointing and stressing for many years should be uppermost in the minds of the teachers, the coaches, and the players at this time. Namely, that we should never have a price, regardless of what the situation is. Because, as I've often said, if you want to dance, you've got to pay the piper. It is unfortunate that these boys who have been involved, not only at City College, but in other schools, as the papers today inform me, have not only ruined their lives, but also brought deep gloom and despair in the hearts of their parents and all their friends and people who were vitally interested in their welfare. To the gamblers of this country, I simply say they should be crucified. The penalty, my friends, cannot be too severe. Whether it's $10,000 for bail or 5 years as a penalty, I think is not enough. We've got to lay it on in such a way, and surely this is in the hands of the lawmakers, that any boy, anyone that tampers with our youngsters should really be given a severe penalty so that others that are to follow will know exactly what the score is. What does the future hold? I think that all these things are for the best. There's going to be, I'm sure, a re-examining of policy, of situations, of schedules, in areas where games are played, and the powers that be in the various colleges have a real responsibility at the present time. And that is to try to safeguard and protect these youngsters in playing the games in areas so that they're not subjected to these conditions. I wish I knew the answer. I know one thing, that when friends tell me that the game at the present time, the game is at stake, I honestly feel that any corrupt group of individuals will never destroy this great game of basketball and what it's meant to youngsters, not only throughout this nation, but throughout the world. Yes, I do believe that some good will result from all this mess.
Here in Philadelphia today, sports editor Ed Pollock of the Evening Bulletin takes another view of the mess in New York. He says all of us, colleges, coaches, alumni, fans, as well as the scoundrels who offer bribes and the weak-willed athletes who accept them, all of us are guilty. Ed Pollock suggests that the free scholarship, the board and rent granted some athletes, the fix to get into school when you don't have the proper credits, the fix on your grades when the team needs you for the big game, the allowance from some alumni, all break down the athlete's resistance before he faces what we consider real temptation. Of course, there is nothing new in this situation. Distinguished educators who can turn a nice phrase about character building have countenanced it. Graduates, widely respected in the community, have contributed to the funds which are used for what can only be described as bribery. Scholarly professors have fudged grades in order not to disqualify a poor student before the big game. College sport has become big and often unsavory business. This basketball scandal is particularly repulsive because the heroes of many teenagers have turned out to be crooks. They have been bought. Their careers are ruined, and they may go to jail. I suppose it's true, as Ed Pollock says, that we are all in some measure to blame for this sorry state of affairs in collegiate athletics. But I'd like to suggest that it goes deeper than that. We are a mechanized, materialistic country, fat, in a world that is lean or hungry. We are inclined to think that dollars are all-powerful, that we can save our civilization or salve our conscience with a check, if only it be big enough. Many of us thought we could use dollars as our defense against communism until Korea came and we had to start using bodies. Congressmen are caught with their hands in the till, serve a short sentence, and are free. A man convicted of stuffing the ballot box is pardoned before serving his full term. We free German war criminals, some of them guilty of horrible crimes, by their own admission. Was that a fix? An effort to buy favor with the German people because we need their goodwill? We frequently appoint ambassadors on the basis of their service or contributions to the party. Is that a payoff? Our politicians employ language with a recklessness and disregard for ascertainable fact in a fashion not calculated to encourage respect for truth amongst the youth of the country. Our spokesmen denounce Franco's Spain as an intolerable dictatorship and proceed to extend diplomatic recognition and grant a loan. Some of our allies fight communist China with one hand and do business with them with the other. There is reason enough to expect that the moral fiber of the youth of the country has been weakened, that they have become cynical, reckless, and eager for that fast buck. But I don't believe it. During the last few days, I've had the opportunity for some conversation with students at the University of North Carolina and at Temple University here in Philadelphia, and have concluded, not for the first time, that they know more, have their feet better braced to meet what comes than did my college generation. They're worried and uncertain, but they are thinking. They won't stampede easily. They ask more penetrating questions than we ever did. And they are not inclined to accept slogans as solutions. I have had an opportunity to observe the youth of several nations as they prepared to meet their testing time. And I'll take these, scandals and all, if they get the leadership worthy of them. This is Ed Morrow. I'll be back in a moment with the word for today.
When someone mentions Maine or Idaho, what's one of the first things that pops into your mind? Why, potatoes, of course. Somehow or other, these states are blessed with just the right combination of elements that produce some of the finest potatoes in all the land. Now, when someone mentions the land of the sky blue waters, you think of Ham's beer, of course. For here in this enchanted land, nature provides certain elements that help make a better beer. The world's finest barley, for example, and clear, pure waters from deep artesian wells. Add three generations of unusual brewing skill, and you can see why Ham's is known from coast to coast as America's most refreshing beer. So try it, won't you? Enjoy that refreshing, true beer flavor that's Ham's and Ham's alone. Note its crisp, clean-cut taste, that aged-in smoothness. So make friends with Ham's beer, refreshingly yours, from the land of the sky blue waters. Now, Ed, what's the word for today?
This from General Matt Ridgway's message to his field commanders on Washington's birthday, to be passed on to their troops. Never have we had a greater need for the greatness of soul which was his, for his unshakable faith in God, for his unswerving devotion to duty, for his nobility of nature, his integrity, his courage, and his wisdom. That message would seem to apply to those of us at home as well as the men in Korea. Good night and good luck.
Edward R. Murrow and the news is brought to you by Ham's, America's most refreshing beer, brewed by the Ham Brewing Company of St. Paul, Minnesota. Looks refreshing, tastes refreshing, is refreshing. Ham's. Brewed in the land of the sky blue waters. For real refreshment, have a Ham's. America's most refreshing beer, Ham's. Listen tomorrow, tomorrow. Larry Alexander speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.